Before I get into the word, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring that word alive to us. Lord, we ask you to do that by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and bring the word of God alive today, Lord, not because of any certain way that I present it, but because of the power of the word. And so, Lord, bring that to us. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I've been speaking for several weeks on the Holy Spirit. Big subject, because we're talking about God. Not sure how long I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, because every time I get into one of these messages, there's so much more to be shared. And it's a powerful thing. He's a powerful thing because he is God. Now, some of you, I've had several of you come up to me and say, well, I've really enjoyed these messages about the Holy Spirit. That's great. But how do you hear God? I've had several of you ask me this. So we're going to find out today. We're going to dig into the Word. We're going to see what the Word of God says about how we hear the voice of God. Does that sound good? Say amen. Yeah, that was pretty good. All right. So our theme scripture is going to be John 10, 27, and 28. If we could put that on the screen. Thank you. My sheep hear my voice, and I'd like everybody to say that. My sheep hear my voice. One more time. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And this is Jesus speaking. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can, you already have, and you will hear the voice of God. If you've accepted Christ into your life and you're a believer in Jesus, you've already heard his voice. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I'm going to ask this next question. Are you listening? Are you listening? And we'll have to keep that in our minds as we go through these scriptures. Are you personally listening for the voice of God? Now, we've all had different experiences with God in terms of how we came to him. But all of us, when we were saved, we heard the Spirit speak and we responded. He found us, he reached out to us, and we responded. Now, chances are, the Spirit had been trying to speak to you many times, but you just weren't at a place to listen. You weren't at that place yet. But when your heart was at that place, though you may not have recognized his voice, you heard his voice and you responded. It might have been at the church, might have been at home, Could have been anywhere. And you responded to that voice. Now, this is a main part of what we're going to talk about today, is that hearing God is based on relationship. Hearing God is based on relationship. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. So there are several items of interest in this passage. When you look at it in context, Jesus is speaking of wayward believers, those who are lukewarm, and specifically is what he's talking about here. Although this really does reach beyond that. It reaches beyond to even the unbeliever, because Jesus does knock at the door of our hearts. But he's saying, Look, you are lukewarm, he's saying. You're neither hot nor cold. There's a lot I could go into there that had to do with the water in the area so that people could really, this really related to that they had lukewarm water. There were other areas that had hotter water with springs and other areas that the water was really cold. Jesus always speaks to us in the way that we can understand it. I've mentioned that a few times. He speaks to us in ways where we get it through our experiences. He knows all of that. He knows all of that. But he is saying, I will come to you for reconciliation. And when he says he knocks, he's not going to force himself in. He's not going to bust down the door. Okay? He's not going to do that. But he longs for that restored relationship with you. But we must first hear his voice. That's what this says. If anyone hears his voice. And then welcome him in. In the ancient world, a meal could mean an effort to restore a relationship. This was common. I think we still do that then. I began to think about this and I thought, well, you know, if you have an estranged relationship, it's kind of bold to ask somebody to come to your house. It's like, ooh, they don't really like me. But you're inviting them in so that you can have a restored relationship. And so we still kind of do that today, but this was understood in biblical times. And Jesus wants that relationship with you to sit down as if with a meal, okay? But how do we hear? He says, if anyone hears my voice, how do we hear? John 15:5, let's take a look at that. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, so this is really important when we're talking about hearing God. This whole word abide. Now looking at the Greek roots of the word, we discover several helpful definitions. To abide is to dwell, to remain, to be present, and to be held and kept. Jesus is saying, stay in me, continue in me, stay with me. And so the context of this command is the analogy of the vine and the branches, and Jesus compares himself to the vine and, of course, us as the branches. And I'm going to read John 15:4-5. It won't be on your screen. It says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. This is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but think of all the things that you do in your life that interest you. And the Bible says that apart from Christ, we can't really do anything of real value. Okay? It has to come from him. Okay. So the main point of the analogy is that power to bear fruit, that is to do good things, to live a fruitful life as God would have us to live. And that flows from Jesus if we stay connected to him as a branch stays connected to a vine. That's pretty obvious. If you want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and you know, as I'm going to mention here in a minute, when he speaks to you, oftentimes he's asking for action from you. Action. And in order to do these actions are fruit. This is the good works that he has for your life, okay? But we've got to be connected to the vine. You won't hear his voice unless you're connected to Christ, connected to that vine. And then it's in God's word, and we're going to go over this more in a minute. a lot of things in a minute. God's word, be in his word, of course, be in prayer, and be in fellowship. Thank you, everybody that's here today. If you're online, I'm so glad that you are online. Thank you for watching. I really encourage you to come to church if you can, if you're able to do that. We would love to have you here. And fellowship is just so important in our lives. And it actually has something to do with hearing God's voice. So when we aren't connected to the vine or to the trunk like a tree, which is Jesus, we can't bear that good fruit. And we will not hear his voice. Now here's another fact in hearing God's voice. This should be an encouraging thing. The longer we're connected to the vine, the more familiar God's voice is going to be. So you might be wondering about that. Well, I'm not very good at hearing God's voice. The longer you stay connected to Jesus, the better his voice is going to be to you. And those of you who have been Christians a long time, I think you've probably discovered that. You recognize his voice more easily. So if you have kids or have had kids, think about them. If you don't have kids, think of a parent or somebody that you have a close relationship with. Maybe it's a friend, okay? Think of them and think when they call you on the phone. Now, of course, today you can tell who everybody is when they call. Now, I'm old enough to remember when you didn't know who called you. And I can remember when that was first a thing and I was like, I don't want to know who's calling me. I didn't like that. I guess that's just change. So now I'm glad I know who's calling me. But when you answer that phone, if it's someone you have a close relationship with, you know their voice immediately. You know the inflection of their voice. You kind of know the tenor of the voice. It's something that you notice. And why is that? It's because you have relationship with them, a close relationship. So you know their voice. Abiding is the key word, staying, dwelling, being present. So have you ever, okay, let's say you've had kids or have kids, and some of you, this may never have happened. It's happened to me, where I will be really busy, like watching a football game. Favorite team of mine's playing. It's whoever one of the Oregon Ducks is playing for, actually. Right now, it's the Chargers. But anyway, I might be real interested in the game. This did happen a time or two. I'm watching the game intently, and then sort of out here somewhere, I hear, Dad, 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 Dad. Now, has anybody ever had this happen? And suddenly you're shocked back to reality. Oh, and you're kind of annoyed. And you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't be annoyed at this. yes, son, what do you need? Now listen, I'm going to talk about listening. And the thing was, is I wasn't purposely listening. It was out here somewhere. Even though I love my kids, most of the time, I hope I listened. I wanted to, but sometimes I got distracted and I didn't listen. So purposely listen for and to God. Purposely listen for and to God. We're going to look at Psalm 1, 1 and 2. And this gives us a little bit of a clue. This is talking about that abiding thing. And this is Old Testament. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is that abiding. This is that abiding with God, okay? So he meditates on God. He meditates on the word of God. And it also says that he doesn't hang out all the time with people that are going to be a bad influence, okay? People that are complainers, people that are critical. He doesn't hang out with them all the time because as believers in Christ, you know we don't do that. right? We shouldn't do that. But we want to hang out with people that love Jesus. And it's not that we don't go out and share the gospel with those who don't know Christ, don't have a relationship with Christ. We absolutely do that. But by and large, for most of us, we need to stay in fellowship, hanging out with believers in Christ. So we read his word daily. This is that meditating day and night. We pray daily. We stay in fellowship with other believers. I was at a restaurant the other day, you know, speaking of listening. And is Anthony Calandrino in here today? Is he here? I haven't looked. Downstairs. Okay. Good. I can talk about him then. Great. No, he's a great young guy. Was at a dinner with a lot of people, and he was sitting across from me, and he mentioned a song that was being played on at this restaurant at that moment. And it's a song that I knew, but I wasn't listening, and I was talking with other people, and he said that, and I stopped, and I listened. I went, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that song. I'm not going to say what song it was. But it was a decent song, just wasn't a Christian song. But I wasn't listening for that music, and so I didn't hear it. You know, this is like a simple illustration, but we've got to be listening. We have to have a heightened awareness to his voice, a heightened awareness, and we do that by abiding in him, okay? Abiding in him. And when we stay consistently in the Word of God, when we consistently spend time in prayer, and when we consistently spend time with other believers in Jesus, we're going to have a heightened awareness to his voice. So what does this voice sound like? What are the characteristics of God's voice? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked, because we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And the first point is, God calls you gently, not pushy or pressured. And I have found that to be true in this life, that when God has something to say to me, 99.9% of the time, he's not pushy. He's not going to just knock me upside the head. I think sometimes I might feel that way, but he doesn't do that. We used to say years ago, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. We used to say that. Well, what's meant by that is that he's not pushy. And so just like that scripture where Jesus knocks on that door, that's a good, really good analogy, of course, because that's what it's like. He's not pushy. He doesn't pressure you. And in 1 Kings, this is just a fantastic portion of scripture. Elijah the prophet had been running from this very wicked queen and her people, Jezebel. A lot had happened, and Elijah was running for his life. And some great things God did before he got to this place, but he became afraid. And so he ran and ran, and in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And this is talking about an angel who came and helped him because he was very hungry. And an angel appeared and had some food cooked for him. It's a great story. Go ahead and read it, 1 Kings chapter 19. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak And he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, this is how most of the time that God speaks, he speaks quietly. And oftentimes we have to still ourselves. We have to be quiet before him and he will speak. Now there's other ways that he speaks to us, but oftentimes that's how it is. And just as in this scripture, there was a gentle whisper after all of these huge natural things that took place, you know, fire and wind and, you know, rocks flying, just crazy. And you think that's God speaking. And in this case, God speaks through a whisper, okay? A whisper. Now, Elijah listened with purpose at this point. And in most cases, that's what he will do. He will speak to you gently. Now, I will say this, that even when God speaks difficult truth to you, difficult truth, he's not going to yell at you. And that's a point. I'm actually jumping ahead of myself, but he's not going to yell at you. He will speak to you firmly, but gently. Firmly, but gently. The second thing is it's consistent and steady. You think, well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's never going to contradict something from his word or his character. And we know that the word is consistent and the word is steady. And that's how the voice of God is. It's consistent. It's not going to change. He's not going to tell you one thing today, something different tomorrow that counters what he just told you. Okay, it's consistent and it's steady. And I'm going to read two scriptures and it proves this point. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak out his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. So we find out here that whatever he hears, he will speak. So he speaks what the Father tells him to do. He speaks the words of God, okay? Whether that's straight from the Word of God, which is in most cases the way it is, the Bible. But when the Holy Spirit truly speaks to you, he's speaking what he hears from the Father, okay? Now, number three, it may convict, but it does not cruelly threaten. And that's what I said a second ago. That's what I meant. The Holy Spirit may convict you of something, correct you on something, but he's not cruel. He's not going to threaten you. He's not going to say, do this or else. That's not how he is. Okay? But he wants you to change. And so you may be convicted of something that you're doing, that you're saying, but he's not going to cruelly threaten. Now, fear is a tactic of the enemy. And his goal is for us to live our lives captive to fear. That's what the devil wants. That's what Satan wants for your life. He wants you to be filled with fear. I asked my son yesterday, I said, you know, speaking on hearing God, and my son's an awesome believer, and he spoke here several months ago. And I said, Dustin, if I were to ask you, how do you hear God? I go, what would you tell me? He said, well, Dad, there's three things. He said, there's yourself speaking. And so you have to decide, is this me thinking? I guess, not speaking, but thinking. Is this just my thoughts? You know, you have to ask yourself that. Or there's two other things. It can be the enemy, which is the devil, Satan, and his powers, who loves to get us off track. Is it him or is it the Holy Spirit? There's three things. And he said, so I had to ask myself that. He goes, I'll just give an example. He said, the other day, he said, I was driving, and he said, out of nowhere, I felt like the Lord said to me, Dustin, I love you. just as he was driving down the road. And he, all of a sudden he was like, well, was that me? And he thought, well, I wouldn't say that to myself. He goes, that was God. That was God speaking that. So if something that is speaking to you is counter to the word of God, and I'll just give examples like something that brings fear to you, something that causes confusion, something that causes you to be judgmental towards someone, to be angry at somebody, things that are counter to what God asks us in the word of God, you know that's not from God. You know that's not from God, and that's probably from the enemy who's trying to distract you, who's trying to get you upset, who's trying to get you to say things you shouldn't say. Okay? So there's ways of weighing these things, and when we're abiding in the vine, we're going to know the difference. Got to be abiding in the vine. John 16, 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This is Jesus speaking. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit convicts. He helps us. It's all for our own good. He wants you to stay out of trouble. Okay? He's convicting you of something. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the Holy Spirit, if he convicts you, it's not going to be cruel. It's going to be loving. There's going to be freedom in that. Okay, because that's who he is. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so the Spirit is speaking to you so that you will be free. You'll be free from sin. All right, number four, it propels us to take action. I mentioned this earlier. When God speaks to us, quite often it moves us to action, whether in our own lives or sharing his love with others. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the voice of the Spirit propels us to take action. He has a purpose for everything that he says. So God can speak to us in that still small voice, as it were, or straight from the Word of God, or from other people, or from situations. You know, we've heard Romans 8:28, together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This says, who are called? That means he has spoken to you about following him. He has called you. That means his voice has called you. And he'll speak to us through those circumstances sometimes. He works those circumstances together for good. Of course, it all has to do with prayer. But I will say that he will speak to us in those circumstances if we're abiding. Because then we're going to recognize it. We're going to recognize what God is doing, what God is saying, because we're attentively listening, okay? That's what we're doing. Now, one more thing I haven't mentioned, and my time is running out, is that God can speak to us through dreams and visions. And I got to say, as with the other messages, what a big subject this is, hearing God. There's so much I want to say to you today. I just don't have time to say it. And we could have some marvelous conversation. But dreams and visions. Acts 2:17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay, this is an Old Testament scripture that's being revisited in the New Testament. So that's the Spirit coming to live inside of us. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, in my entire life, this is just me, I have had one dream that I thought and knew when I woke up, that was from God. Only one. I've just had one. I've had people try to tell me, oh, tell me how you're dreaming and I'll interpret it for you, and I'll tell you what God is saying to you. Well, I don't believe that God does that all the time. That's a whole other subject that I could get into. I'm not going to today. But I've had the one dream. So I'm going to share this quickly with you. And I have mentioned this a time or two over the years. And this is a dream that has meant a lot to me and sticks with me to this day. It's very alive to me. What happened to me was, in my dream, I woke up and I stood beside my bed. And now the Lord knows you and he knows me. And he knows I love Christmas music. It's so happy. Most of it's so happy. And I like the other stuff too, the other Christmas music too. But I love it. It's so happy. And in my dream, I stood up and there was the most beautiful, happy Christmas music. And this is hard to explain. Maybe in the Bible where they talk about different colors, this is what it is. In my dream, I could see the music. It was like color. It was like a panorama in front of me. And as time has gone on, I really think God was giving me kind of a look into heaven a little bit. And I didn't recognize these colors, but they were marvelous and wonderful. And I was so happy. And the Lord, in my dream, said, look out your back window. So I looked out my back window, and I see this beam of light coming from the heavens and coming into the middle of my backyard. And in this beam of light, all I can say is I understood in my dream this was the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord was working furiously. And it's like it was like sparks were coming out or something. It was just this whole working. And so in my dream, I couldn't wait to go out and look the next morning as to what the angel was doing. So in my dream, I wake up the next morning. I'm so excited. I look out my rear window, and out there is not at all what I expected to see. What I saw was mud. And this mud had covered my entire backyard. My backyard kind of went up like this. And it was completely smooth. And I didn't understand it in my dream. And I thought, well, what does this mean? I thought I was going to see something spectacular. What are you doing in my life, God? What are you doing? And then the Lord showed me a few other things that don't have anything to do with this. They had to do with something that I was going through at that time. So that's the end of that part of that dream. Now, I'm going to say this. If God really does give you a dream that really means something, he's going to confirm it for you. He'll confirm it for you. And he'll also do this with big things that happen in your life that he wants you to do. He will confirm it. He'll do it through people. You don't even have to ask them. They'll come up and tell you. I've had that happen. He'll confirm it. He'll confirm it in his word, in circumstances, things that happen. Well, for me, I didn't understand the dream. I thought, well, what in the world? Maybe this isn't a God dream, but it was so real to me. Well, I'm walking. A few weeks later, I'm walking in my backyard, and my kids were there. And my daughter and son-in-law were in my backyard, and they were in the middle of my yard. And as I walked by, you might not think this is a big deal, but I froze in my tracks because that was the exact spot that angel was. And I looked at them. I didn't say anything to them. And God spoke to me. Just when I say spoke to me, it was not an audible voice, but I sure understood what he said. It was like a whisper, but I could not an audible thing, just in my spirit. And he said, I'm going to bless you through your children. That has stuck with me to this day. And I was so concerned. You know, I'm getting a little older now. And I was so, oh, God, what are you going to do next with us? What are you going to do next? You know, and God was saying, well, I'm not going to talk to you about what I'm doing with you. I'm going to talk to you about I'm going to bless you through your children. And then as time went on, I began to seek in the Word, because I know the Word of God talks a lot about our children, talks about generations, a lot about that. And I hadn't really paid attention to it. God will bless. God will bless. The Bible says through your children. But he spoke that specifically to me. I will say that I have been blessed already by my children. And so God does speak today through dreams and through visions. I've had maybe two visions in my life that I'm not going to go into today. But I've been a Christian a long, long time. And maybe God speaks to you in that way more than other times. But God does do that. But when he does that, he will confirm those kinds of things. Okay? All right. I need to hurry. Yes. So in talking about these kind of things, I want to share a caution with you. When you think you hear from God, just like I said, just kind of take care and take caution if it's something kind of big, okay? Take it seriously, but there's some caution here. Be careful how you share it and who you share it with. Just be careful. Don't go spouting it off to a lot of people. Just ask God, God, who do you want me to talk to about this, okay? Who do you want me to ask about this? Ecclesiastes 5:2. I love Ecclesiastes. It's such an interesting book. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are on earth. Let your words be few. Now, this is talking about being in the house of God. But, it's basically saying we're earthly humans. We don't have the big picture. God has the big picture. We don't. So, don't talk about things. Let your words be few. That's really a good word for all of us. Although some of you, I'm really glad that you talk a lot because then I don't have to talk and I can listen. Let your words be few. When it comes to the things of God, if he's doing something in your life, if he's speaking something to you, it's not that you don't tell someone, it's that just have some wisdom. Does that make sense? Have some wisdom who you share that with. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. So whether somebody's sharing a word from God for you, somebody comes to you, that's happened a lot in my life. Sometimes it has been from God, and many times it has not. You know how I knew it wasn't? It's because I tested it. I tested it over time. I tested it in the Word, and I tested it with what God was doing in my life. And so sometimes it is, but the Word says to test these things, test them. And I'm going to say one more warning for you. And I'm just going to say, I don't think I've ever said this in front of the congregation. And worship team, if you could come up, that'd be great. There's a phrase that we use in leadership over the years. And if you've been in leadership, you might have heard this. It's called the God card. And if somebody lays out the God card, that means that that person feels like that God has spoken to them, and it doesn't matter what you think because God has spoken to them, and they lay out this God card to say, you have to do what I say because God has spoken to me, and if you don't, you'll be in disobedience. Now, that happens quite a bit. As a pastor, people will say that. Well, I learned a long time ago, anybody lays the God card on me, just know right now, I'll probably take a step back. Okay. I'll pray about that. And that might be. God might have spoken to you. But I'm just going to encourage you, don't do that. Don't do that to people. That puts them in such a tough spot because you're saying to them that God has spoken, so anything you think doesn't matter because he's spoken. That's the God card. Don't lay out the God card. Keep that to yourself. Put it in your back pocket. And prayerfully share that. If God wants you to share that. I just thought I would add that little nugget to your life. Okay. Honor and respect your leaders. That has to do with the God card. So hearing God is not complicated, in closing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will, you can, and you have heard his voice. You can. He will speak as it relates to you, as he did in my dream. He related it to me and how I think and my experiences. Sometimes it's straight from God's word by the Spirit. Sometimes it's a still small voice in your spirit. Sometimes it's a firm yet gentle sense from within. That's about the only way I can describe it. There's just like a sense that, oh, God's speaking to me. He wants me to do something. Maybe he wants you to give what's in your pocket to a person. You know, maybe you've got a $50 bill in your pocket. He's not asking you to give $200. He's saying, I want you to give this to this person. You don't know what's going on, but I just want you to do that. Sometimes he'll do that, okay? It's a sense. Oh, my goodness, you know, but that's abiding in Christ. That's how you know these things. Sometimes it might be a dream or vision. Those are, to me, are rarer moments. It may be life circumstances. So the last scripture is the opening scripture. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Hearing God is about relationship, abiding, getting to know him, and you will hear him, and you will have the wisdom to know when it's him and what to do with that word. That's abiding, and you hear that over and over and over here. Read your Bible. Have fellowship. Pray. There's very simple things, but they're powerful things, and if you do those things on a regular basis and build that relationship, spend time with God, you will hear his voice, and you will be more familiar with his voice, okay? All right. That's the end of my message today. We have some baptisms coming. Yeah. I'm really excited about these baptisms. Yeah. Awesome. So we're going to sing a song. I'm not going to ask for a response today, but why don't you just stand while we play this song? And let's see. Pastor Ben, do you come up and talk? Is that what happens here? This is still kind of new for us. We started offering baptisms kind of, you know, live, like if you want to get baptized today. So we started doing this, and so it's still kind of new. But we're talking about hearing God, and maybe God is speaking to you about getting baptized today. Maybe you have a sense within you. Maybe you have, wow, I haven't been baptized. I'm supposed to do this. Well, if you think that, well, it's probably God. That's a good thing, you know. Just because you're probably not going to tell yourself that. The devil's not going to tell you that. So anyway, Pastor Ben, why don't you give us a little instruction?